First scripture reading this morning is Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, when Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions." So Isaac stayed in Gerar.
Our second scripture reading is from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. When Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our third scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 35. And we do have three passages this morning because I'm trying to cover two generations of the story, and there was no way to do that with only two scripture readings. So I wanted to get as much of the story in. This actually covers about 15 chapters is what these two generations cover, and I didn't think we wanted to read 15 whole chapters this morning. So I had to pick and choose a little bit, but whereas the first passage that was read talks about Isaac, the second two talk about Jacob, and I wanted to go ahead and read this passage too. So this is in Genesis chapter 35, and I'm going to start with verse 9 and read through to verse 15. So hear now the word of our Lord. "After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel.' So he named him Israel. And God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you.' Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, today we continue our semi-continuous sermon series, 66 books, one message. We're going to continue this series for another couple weeks until we get to Lent. Actually, it's this week and next week, and then when we get to Lent, we'll be shifting focuses a little bit and looking at a little bit different part of the story. We will come back to this sermon series later on in the year, though. And in this series, we've been looking at how all of Scripture points toward the cross and God's plan for salvation, starting all the way back at creation itself. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the covenant that God made with Abraham, in which God made Abraham a couple of promises. God promised Abraham that even though he and his wife were past the normal childbearing age, that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be so numerous that they wouldn't be able to be counted. And we see through Ishmael and then to Isaac how God begins to answer that promise. He also promises Abraham that through his descendants, all nations on the earth will be blessed, and that his descendants will gain as an inheritance the land of Canaan. Last week we looked at the test that God gave to Abraham, in which he tested Abraham's faith, but he also foreshadowed what he would do in the New Testament, in the gospel, by sacrificing his own son rather than having Abraham sacrifice his son Isaac. God would sacrifice his own son as the ultimate sacrifice, in which that promise would ultimately be fulfilled, that all nations on the earth would be blessed through one of Abraham's descendants. Well, this week, we move past Abraham and we go on to the next couple generations, and what I'm looking at in this sermon is the faithfulness that God has shown from generation to generation, from one generation to the next. If we were to go back and read the rest of Abraham's life, we would see that God continued to be faithful to him throughout the entirety of his life. When Abraham got really old, he was already up in years when the story began, but when he got really old, even in that day and age's standards, he began to think about the future for his son. And we have the story of Abraham sending a servant to go find a wife for Isaac, and we see how God was faithful in that, leading the servant to Rebekah, and how God just kind of paved the way for that to happen. And we go on through that story, and we come to the end of Abraham's life, and we read that Sarah died, and after Sarah died, Abraham married again, and he actually had six more sons. So here we have this man who, when he was first called by God in his early 70s, he had no children whatsoever. And he goes on and he lives to be, I don't remember exactly, I think it's about 130, 140 years old, something in that range. And he ends up having a total of 8 sons. And God blessed him immensely during this time. He gained great wealth. And before his death, he gave gifts to the 6 sons of his last wife. And he sent them off. And each one of those sons became the father of a great nation. One of those 6 sons was named Midian. And he became the father of the Midianites. Now, does anybody recognize the term Midianite and where that comes back into play in the story? Well, when Moses fled from Egypt, he fled into the wilderness and he met a Midianite priest, and he married that priest's daughter. The Midianites were also descendants of Abraham. But each of those sons became the father of a nation. And then we have Ishmael, who himself had 12 sons. He became the father of what today we call the Arab people. And we see that when Abraham finally died, Ishmael and Isaac, even though they had had their differences, they came together and they buried their father and they worshipped the Lord. They worshipped God together. And then we get into the life of Isaac. And in the grand scheme of things, we don't read a lot about Isaac's life. We have the story of the servant going to find Rebekah for him to be his wife. And then we have the death of Abraham. And then we have really one chapter dedicated to the life of Isaac. And Randall read a passage from that chapter for us today. And in that passage, God came to Isaac and he said, I will make the same covenant with you that I made with your father. I will make the same promise to you that I made to your father, that you will become the father of many nations. That your descendants will be so numerous that they will not be able to be counted. That through your descendants, all generations on this earth will be blessed. And to your descendants, I will give this land as an inheritance. And Isaac accepts God as his God. He accepts that covenant with God. And he walks in faithful relationship with God for his entire life. And Isaac goes on. He has two sons of his own. And his older son, Esau, goes on to have many children of his own. And he becomes the father of, who later we read about, are the Edomites. The land of Edom. He becomes the father of a great nation, of a great many people. Then we have his son Jacob. And there is that interesting story with Jacob and Esau, in which Jacob tricks Esau a bit. And he takes the birthright from him. Esau was the oldest, so the greatest blessing should have passed on to him, but instead it passes on to Jacob. And we have this scene in the scripture in which Jacob goes to his father Isaac, and he pretends to be Esau, and he receives this blessing. And Esau, in his great fury, says he is going to kill his brother, and so Jacob flees. And he flees to his uncle's household. And it is while he is fleeing that we have that passage that Betty read for us, in which he gets this vision of heaven. And it is there, as he is fleeing after lying about who he was, deceiving his father, stealing his brother's birthright, in which God first appears to him and reveals that it is through him that the promise to his father and grandfather would be carried on. And he makes the same promise to him, that his descendants would be so numerous that they would not be able to be counted. That through him all generations on the earth would be blessed. And to his descendants this land would be given. And he makes kind of a deal with God. He said, okay, prove it. If you bring me back safely to my father's house, I will know that you truly are God, and I will worship you and you alone for the rest of my days. And he goes off to his uncle's house, and there he meets his cousins. Don't overthink that. Rachel and Leah, and he falls in love with Rachel, and he gets married to both of them, and there's that whole drama with Laban and his daughters, and you can go and read that story. But we see that while he is there in his father's house, that God, or in his now father-in-law, in his uncle's house, God truly blesses him. And he arrives with nothing, but while he is there serving his uncle, He is truly blessed and God provides for him. And while he is there, he ends up with a total of 13 children. 13. I went to high school with a guy who was the exact middle of 13 children. He had a big family. Jacob had 13 children, 12 of them sons. He was truly blessed. When the time finally comes for him to return home, he is on his way back to his father's house with his 13 children, his four wives, or two wives and two concubines, depending on how you look at it. And all of the wealth that God has blessed him with. And right before entering back into his homeland, he takes all of the idols that are in his household and he buries them and he says, "We are going to worship God alone, for God has blessed us." And God appears to him again and God reiterates that promise that he made to him. And he firmly establishes that covenant with him. And he returns to his father's house a truly blessed man. And when he finally comes to face to face with his brother once again, his brother says, "I forgive you. I hold no grievance against you. We are brothers, and God has blessed me too." Even though the covenant would be carried on through from Isaac through to Jacob, God blessed Esau just as he had blessed Ishmael. You will remember that when God made the covenant with Abraham and he promised that Sarah would have a son and his name would be Isaac, Abraham asked God, "Will you bless my other son too?" And he says, "Yes." And then when we get to Isaac, God blesses both of his sons, Jacob and Esau. God is faithful to both of them. And we see as the narrative of Scripture progresses from one generation to the next, how God remained faithful. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his covenants. As we move on from here, we see the narrative of Scripture focusing in on Jacob's descendants. And that last passage that I read that because it was important. Because just as God changed Abram's name to Abraham, God gave a new name to Jacob as well. Israel. And the testimony of that faithfulness, of his faithfulness to Jacob, who became Israel. His 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. As we look at all those who are descended from just those 12 sons, they are so numerous that they can't even be counted. And in fact, when you look at it, and I won't go into the full history of the nation of Israel right now. That's not what today's message is for. But the ones that we are most familiar with of his descendants today, those who we call Jews, everyone who has Jewish blood in the world, if we were to try to count them, it'd be pretty hard. But the Jews are descended from only one of those 12 sons. When you consider just how many people are descended from the rest of them, that promise of his descendants being so numerous that they cannot be counted we see the true faithfulness of God and His promises being kept. God keeps His promises to every generation. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, who formed Adam and Eve out of the dust, or Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then Eve out of Adam's rib. The same God who saved Noah through the flood, who called Abraham out of a distant land, away from the false gods that he had worshipped, and made a covenant with him, was faithful to Abraham, he was faithful to Isaac, he was faithful to Jacob. As we will look at during our Lenten series, he was faithful to Jacob's descendants when he called them out of the land of Egypt. And every time we see God speaking to the people of Israel later on in Scripture, how does he introduce himself? He says, "I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And to this day, the descendants of Jacob, the descendants of Israel, still call out to their God, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is faithful to every generation. And to this day, he is faithful. Even when his children aren't faithful back. And when we look at the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see that they made a lot of mistakes. Abraham jumped the gun with Hagar, and we have Ishmael, and we have the eternal conflict between those two brothers, between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac, a conflict that is still raging in that part of the world today. Abraham made some mistakes, but he trusted God, and God was faithful to him. Then we have Isaac. He made some mistakes too. He made the exact same mistake as his father, actually, claiming that his wife was actually his sister in some misguided idea that someone would kill him in order to try to steal her away from him. But God was faithful to him. He showed favoritism in his children, which is something that he wasn't supposed to do, but God was still faithful. And then we have Jacob. And oh, Jacob made a lot of mistakes. But despite the fact that he was far from perfect, God was faithful to him as well. Now we see later on when we get to the Exodus that God wanted to make sure that the descendants of Israel learn from the mistakes of their fathers. Go and read some of the specific laws that are found in Genesis about who you are and who you're not supposed to marry, and you'll see that God wanted to make sure they didn't make the same mistakes as their ancestors. But no matter how many times these people messed up, no matter how many times they failed, God was faithful to them. To every generation, even until today. And so as we look at the promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have to now look at the promises that God made to us. When God fulfilled that promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that through their descendants all nations on the earth would be blessed, He fulfilled that in the person of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus walked this earth for 33 years, as He preached, as He called people to repentance, and as He eventually died on the cross so that we might be saved, He made some promises to us as well. In the Gospel of John, we have probably the longest picture of the Last Supper. We have the Last Supper depicted in all four of the Gospels, but in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. And he made some promises there as well. Chief among them being that when he rose from the dead and ascended to his Father, he would send an advocate, a comforter, a teacher, a guide. He would send the Holy Spirit to be with us, to speak into our hearts, and to guide us. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us. He promised to hear our prayers. He promised that one day he would return and bring all those who call upon his name to be with him. Those are the promises that he made to us. And just as God was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he continues to be faithful to them to this day, God is also faithful to the promises that he makes to us. Every generation that has lived since Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven has lived under the promises that he has made for us. And the good news is that it doesn't matter how many times we mess up. We make mistakes. Anybody here perfect? Not me. Just as he was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, despite all of the mistakes that they made, he is faithful to us. He meets us where we are, but then he draws us closer to him. He moves us beyond our starting point. He doesn't leave us there. He brings us into more and more of a relationship with him. He brings us closer to him every day that we allow the Holy Spirit to work within our hearts, to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, to do the work that he was sent here to do. Every day that we allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that sanctifying grace that Wesley likes to talk about. God is being faithful to that promise. Brothers and sisters, we can have hope and we can trust in God because unlike every single human being that has ever walked the face of this earth, God will never lie to us. He will never break his promise. He will always be faithful to us. What we see in his faithfulness to Abraham and his descendants, we can take as a sign of his faithfulness to us as well. And if ever in doubt, all you have to do is think about how God kept his promises to those generations. And you can have faith that he will also keep his promises to us as well. As we go from this place today, let us go forth in faith, trusting in the God who never fails us, and holding to the hope of his promise. Our God is faithful. As we'll sing in just a few minutes, great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every single day. Let us praise God for that today. Amen.